from 30 for 30 Podcasts.
Brian Patta, senior defensive lineman from Miami, gunned down.
The key to this case, it's Brian.
An hour before he died, he was on the phone arguing with somebody.
This might be a hit.
You want the truth. They just want a conviction.
Being placed under arrest.
We had a killer amongst us.
Murder at the U. Listen now.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Hey, everybody.
Can't get enough of the Rich Eisen Show? You're in luck. You can find us everywhere. Watch us weekdays on Disney Plus from noon to 3 Eastern. Miss the show? We've got a podcast so you can listen anytime. But here's the best part. Our YouTube channel. Subscribe at youtube.com/Rich Eisen Show and you'll never miss a moment. Now, on with the show.
Well, his nickname is Showtime.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Neither of those count as a test.
From the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
We should have they dunk however they wish. Wembanyama must dunk flat-footed.
Earlier on the show, NFL Network insider Ian Rappaport. Coming up, ESPN MLB insider Jeff Passan. ESPN NBA insider Ramona Shelburne. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Hour number two of the Rich Eisen Show on the air here on Disney Plus, ESPN, the app, and our radio audience, ESPN Radio and Sirius XM Channel 80. Those are our usual day-to-day, every single day, locations where you can listen to us or watch us. There's also our podcast, all 3 hours, the Rich Eisen Podcast Network, all 3 hours of this program. Also featuring No Contest Wrestling with TJ Jefferson and O'Shea Jackson Jr. When this is over, they're recording their latest episode with John Cena in studio. Yeah. So you could check that also on our YouTube channel, youtube.com/Rich Eisen Show. We're also here on ESPN Cable. And if you told me years ago, hey, Rich, you're going to take phone calls on ESPN, I'd be like, wow, that's pretty cool. And then if you told me that, you know, back in 2003 when I got handed a cardboard box, I'd be like, that's never happening. But here it is. 844-204-RICH is the number to dial. Let's go. Adante in Modesto, California, first in, first up. What's up, Adante?
Hey, Rich, how you doing?
How are you, sir? What's going on?
Not much. I was at your podcast with Boomer a couple of weeks ago. That was really cool. I liked it.
I appreciate you saying that. You're referring to the live chat I had with Chris Berman in San Francisco a few days before the Super Bowl for an upcoming podcast series called This Was Sports Center, where I'm chatting with OGs of the show. So it was a lot of fun. I'm glad you made it. Thanks
except
for doing that.
Except for the drunk couple that was heckling.
Yeah, they weren't heckling. They were just loud.
They were into it.
They were into it and loud and
they
talking.
They thought we came to see them.
Or they were having it was a live chat between me, Chris, and occasionally them.
Yeah. So, they thought it was a sing-along.
It's all good.
And it wasn't.
It's all good.
But it was fun.
They're also fans of the show. They might be hearing themselves be name-checked right now.
I want to talk about the tanking.
Right. Okay. Go for it.
To get the draft picks.
Yes.
I kind of have a solution. I was thinking about it. How can we fix it? So I would eliminate the play-in and just the top eight teams make the playoffs.
Okay.
And then the remaining teams that don't make the playoffs, let them have a round-robin tournament. Just like in the NCAA, whoever wins the tournament gets the top pick, whoever finishes second, and trickle it down.
I'm hearing that that's a possibility as well, right? That Adam Silver, at one point, I guess a report was floating the idea of no draft at all, making everybody a free agent. And I think, obviously, tanking is a problem. In the NBA, certainly since teams have been fined for it before the All-Star break. It's happened sooner and earlier and earlier, Adante. And I think it a fan like you calling up and being frustrated by it is definitely a metric that the NBA should take note of. But at the end of the day, would you really want to sit down and watch teams that didn't make the playoffs play more basketball while we're watching teams that made the playoffs play basketball? I don't think that's going to happen. I wouldn't. I have no interest in it. You know, to be honest with you, I understand that you're trying to create competition. My Lord, you're trying to create competition the same way that the commissioner did in the All-Star game. But I don't know. And I appreciate the call. Call back, will you please, sir? It's a Dante in Modesto, California. I heard this and I thought, like, if Adam Silver's really threatening to take the draft away and saying, I'm just going to let the highest bidders win the rights for Cooper. Let's make Cooper Flagg a free agent and there'll be a bidding war for him. I don't think that's an answer either. Do you want Cooper Flagg paid the most money, get a Supermax contract straight out of college? Because that's what would happen.
You could put a cap on it.
That's what would happen.
I mean, I think the other leagues would not allow that to happen as well. You think the NFL wants to see that? No.
I just don't think it's realistic. To me, that sounded like Adam Silver telling all the governors of the NBA, I will pull this car over and we are going to, we are not going on vacation. This trip to Disney World that we've talked about for the last few months, we're not going if you don't knock it off. Like, that's what it sounded like to me. And you as a parent better come through on that threat. Otherwise, the kids will basically say, yeah, we'll just keep doing what we're doing. I'll keep hitting my brother,
right?
You know, in the back seat. You know what I mean? Like, that's what it sounded like to me. Because at the end of the day, you know, what I just said in the end of the last hour, we as fans just want it to feel like you care as much about winning as we do. And governors and owners and whatever you want to call them who are in the NBA are basically saying, we want to win as much as you. We just can't win with this group. And the best way for us to win is to get us a Cooper Flag. You know? That's the way, the best way to win. And the best way to do that is to not win. So hang with us, right? You know, in the same way that Jets are telling their fans, hey, listen, hang with us. We're going to rebuild. We're going to retool all these draft picks that we got for all the kids that you thought we could win a Super Bowl by building around. We got rid of them to get these draft picks. Don't worry. We're going to nail these draft picks this time. You know, like, it's the same thing. And fans keep saying, you keep telling me it's raining, but I know why I'm feeling a mist. You know, that's the issue here. And I don't know, like, maybe you just got to really hit these governors in the pocketbook, even though some of that can find it in a couch cushion. I don't know what the answer to it is, but you can't tell me that banning a draft or saying, let's have a tournament of losers and the winner of the tournament of losers gets to be the biggest loser. Is that what it is? Like, I don't see how that's
work. Take away the weightedness to the top of the draft. Like, the lottery teams 1 through 14. Have an equal chance to get the top pick. You know, right now it's the top four have the same percentage to get the top pick.
So then if you're right around there at 16, why would you want to try and make the you know, play-in tournament just to get the have the right win a couple games and then you get absolutely pole axed by the Oklahoma City Thunder and now you don't have a shot at the same thing as the top pick does. As the team with the worst record, like you'd see teams tanking even worse, I would think, with something like that. How about there's just something that happens here where if you start sitting people and we could see it and we know it, you get hit so hard, it's going to be, you don't want to spend that much money. Like, hit them harder in the wallet. And fans hit him harder in the wallet too by walking, you know, pull a sports version of Scott Galloway right now. That's how you can vote. But I'm sure, again, teams were run by, you know, I believe, you know, the owner of the Utah Jazz really wants to win, but the best way for them to win is they got to get the best kid out of the college right now. Possible someone from Michigan. Wait, is this thing on?
Number one in the nation.
That's correct. Yeah. That's correct. Taking on Purdue tonight. That'll be a lot of fun. It's a Tuesday. Overreaction Monday on a Tuesday. Hit it.
That was terrible.
That was crap. That was garbage.
This place sucks.
Overreaction
Mondays.
Monday. On a Tuesday.
All right. We're going to do this now without having done an Overreaction Monday pod. We didn't do the Overreaction Monday pod because we were too busy showing our James K. Polk spirit on President's Day. I know all about showing that.
I was saying that's...
What? That's my old SportsCenter commercial.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. Okay. I figured that's why I said it.
That's why I said it.
Yeah.
We're on ESPN now.
I get it.
Okay, let's go.
We're on the same page.
All right.
You know who might be on the same page?
Okay, great. No, I don't,
with
Chris.
Each other?
Okay.
Stone Cold Jones wants him back, TJ. The Chiefs should bring back Tyreek Hill. Let's go.
Man.
It's right there.
I know. So we could run it back with him and Mahomes, what, both rehabbing knee injuries? Is that what they're going to do?
Second half of the year.
Is that what we're going to do?
Second half of the year. These guys come back.
What do we call that, a Cybex machine?
In October.
They're going to run it back?
Am I reading this right?
Would they be able to do that?
It's time. Stone Cold wants him.
Chiefs should bring back Tyreek Hill. Can you imagine that happens and he's just as good and Mahomes is just as good and they're taking the top of the defense off?
Second half of the year, November on.
Kelsey comes back.
Kelsey comes back.
All right. I will ask you this.
I don't know who starts the season.
I will ask you this.
Who starts the year quarterback?
As a man who roots for the team that just won the American Football Conference.
The Patriots.
That's correct.
Oh, right. We're back.
That's right. Well, we're back being discussed. Would you be concerned about that? Or would you be like, yeah, run it back like it's, you know, 2020 all over again. Like it's, what, 2021. Great. It's not 2026. They're both coming off of knee injuries. Good luck. You'd like to see it, wouldn't you?
I think Chiefs fans.
Are you trying to speak this into existence?
I think Chiefs fans would be excited about.
Would they? I don't. Most Chiefs fans were like, "Yeah, we went back to back after he left, so we don't need him." And he was a headache frequently.
Yeah, well, their offense has gotten pretty boring. Okay. So I think they probably kind of need him.
Okay.
Just seems.
I don't think this is an overreaction. I just don't know if it's going to happen or if it's necessary. But if Stone Cold says, "Let's do it,"
you get him on the cheap.
Okay.
I don't know.
Was it fine to call him Stone Cold?
I mean,
he calls himself Stone Cold.
Yeah, I've heard it.
I understand that. Yeah. I mean, LaDainian Tomlinson, when his nickname was being used nonstop about LT, Giants fans are like, what? Don't forget that.
Fair point.
Thank you. What else you got?
A lot of talk about the quarterbacks. Like you said, number one storyline for you in the next couple of weeks.
Is how fast will the quarterback carousel spin?
Someone from Boston is calling me. That's weird.
Okay.
Both Tua and Kyler guys are going to be cut before the new league year. They're going to be out there.
I don't think that's an overreaction at all.
I think that's a given.
I think that's both happening. I do. I don't think there's going to be a trademark. Why would anybody trade for their contracts when they? Although I, you know, listen to my guests. Not saying that you don't. But Ian Rappaport, zooming in from his beautiful Mount Airy Lodge, wherever he was. You got that one.
I remember that.
Have a fine winter time in the Poconos.
Yes.
All right. He made it sound like Mike LaFleur might be like, we're going to get better than Kyler.
Right.
Let me help you. And you might as well keep him for one more year and see what it works with, how it looks with Mike LaFleur, and let's go. Unless, I'm telling you guys, Malik Willis is going to have a market. And I like the kid. Got a chance to just have a quick conversation with him at the combine a few years ago when he was coming out of Liberty. And good dude, good person, good stock, good arm, good legs. Apparently good. He can be coached up.
Remember someone?
Why wouldn't you want to hook up with him? Right?
Remember someone
now?
Recorded him giving homeless people clothes out of his suit.
Out of the gear that he got for free at the combine. Yes. He had me at hello. So I don't think this is an overreaction at all. What else you got over there, Chris?
You know, there's all the quarterback talk. There is a guy out there, didn't play last year, very well rested, only 34 years old, good player too. Derek Carr is going to be a starting quarterback for somebody in 2026.
Yeah.
Why wouldn't somebody call him?
I don't know, because he's retired. He wants to be a dad. I don't know.
Does he?
His shoulder.
On a podcast with his brother. Sounds like he'd be up to playing again.
Okay, yeah. This is not a bad idea. Why not, right? Listen, if Phillip Rivers is going to do it at 44, Derek Carr could do it right now at his age. Not a bad idea. Who would do it? Jets wanted him. Didn't Robert Saleh tell him he could be in the Hall of Fame?
Could be in the Hall of Fame if he played for the Jets.
Yeah, what how did that work out?
I mean, you know, he went to the Saints instead. But this was the most explosive offense in the NFL at one point.
The reason why he went to the Saints, it was the worst kept secret that Aaron Rodgers was going to the Jets. And that was just a nice, I guess, security blanket at the time. Yeah, I won't push back on this one. That's not an overreaction. Come on, get hotter. What do you got over there?
Speaking of Derek Carr, his former team, has the number one pick in the draft. It is all presumed that Fernando Mendoza is going number one to the Raiders.
Yes.
The Raiders should at least think about trading out of number one.
Nope.
For a haul of picks.
Nope.
They need a full class rebuild across the board. They have three good players.
Yeah.
Right? Three good players?
Yeah.
Max Crosby, Ashton Jeanty, Brock Bowers.
But Colton
they need
Miller.
A whole sure.
Yeah.
Great. They need a whole lot of people for Clint Kubiak and Tom Brady and company. Trade down. There's a teams behind them in the draft.
Yes.
Who would love to be at number one.
Yeah.
You could really take advantage of what the what they need, their wants. Boom, boom. Trade picks. Boom.
I like it.
Let's go.
Again, what Ian Rappaport said in hour number one, where he said that the Raiders might do something like this because he said what the Raiders could possibly do is just fill their roster with a bunch of good players in free agency because they need to spend all that money to just get good players. Which is an interesting take on the just win baby. Just get good play. It doesn't fit on a bumper sticker.
Just you know what spend. I mean?
A little wordy.
Well, just spend, baby.
Just spend, maybe.
But on the right players, though.
Oh, we don't do that.
Why do people not view Fernando Mendoza as a surefire first overall?
I'd be wondering, maybe why? We can talk to DJ or somebody else.
He's on Friday.
Okay. Where would Mendoza fit in the 2024 draft class?
I got you. I hear you. Would he even beat out Cam Ward in last year's draft?
Exactly.
I understand.
Did Mendoza win in this theory? Is he a national champion? Of course.
Yes, I'll check that box. Keep going.
But with the 2024 draft.
Did he go undefeated?
Check the box. Yes. You know, and then what else did he do? What else did he do? Did he win the national championship?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, wait a minute. Did he win the national championship while getting his ass beat every single time because he just constantly got pounded? Did he do that? Did he run the ball in on fourth down?
That play.
Did he do all that? Has he shown everything he needs to show? Has he moved from one team to another? Has he done that? Will he go home or will the Rhino have a spearmint taste to it in Las Vegas?
Is he better than Bo Nix?
Got it. You picked up what I'm putting down there, Jay.
Yeah, I got that.
Probably not right now. Right. No.
Okay.
But onward. I say this is not an overreaction. But I don't like it. What else you got? You got one more? Because Jeff Passan's about to zoom in.
Okay, come on, basketball. The NBA All-Star Game, home run. But it's time to retire the dunk contest for good, Rich Eisen.
What did I say? You probably heard me what I said before. And you're like, damn it. I had that thing for Overreaction Monday.
All right, but I want to end on a hot one.
Okay.
I guess we're sort of tuned into the Olympics, but the Winter Olympics lacks the buzz
really?
That the summer does.
Okay. Right?
For sure.
Does it?
Oh, yeah. Come on.
Oh, for sure. All the big events, all the big athletes that you know are in the summer.
Okay.
Okay? But there is a sport that's played during the winter that is oddly in the summer games.
Okay.
Basketball should be in the Winter Olympics.
Oh, I like it.
Now.
Well done.
Now you're saying.
Well done.
The NHL does it. They take a nice break so hockey can go into the Winter Olympics. Why can't the NBA do this?
They don't want a break.
Every four years, you get rid of the All-Star game because you have the best stars play on the world stage.
I got it.
Winter Olympics. Yeah. It's perfect.
Great idea. Never going to happen.
I do not hate that.
going to happen.
Why not?
Because the NBA doesn't want it to do it. NBA is happy to do it in the summer when they don't have to take a break.
This would be perfect.
Yeah, I mean, you can eliminate all of these, DNP coaches' decisions. Give these guys a little
extra. I like it even better.
I like that, bro.
Have NBA stars do curling. Now you're talking.
See, that's the only
How about Victor Wembanyama and Muggsy Bogues in a two-man luge? Right? You could put Muggsy in a onesie.
In a onesie.
I mean, that would
Muggsy in a onesie, or, you know, when a baby Bjorn goes lusion down.
Okay. Now you're safe.
This is a good idea.
Victor Wembanyama could put his finger on the stone from 15 feet away.
Right? That would be cheating.
All right. We take
I like that, Brock.
Good stuff. Overreaction Dude. Money on a Tuesday. Jeff Passan, kind enough during breaking news all over his sport to join us next live on ESPN and Disney Plus.
The Rich Eisen Show Podcast.
Save money and get a better view of the road when you replace your worn-out wiper blades at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Right now, save $10 on a pair of Rain-X Latitude wiper blades. They feature beam blade technology to improve windshield contact for maximum visibility. The professional parts people will even install your new wiper blades for free. Choose Rain-X Latitude Wiper Blades at your local O'Reilly Auto Parts store or online at O'ReillyAuto.com.
In a world in need of a hero, one man rises to the challenge in style. He is just driving the kids to soccer practice. Make every day feel epic in an all-new Hyundai Palisade Hybrid with up to an EPA estimated 619 miles of range on select trims, advanced tech, and class-leading interior space. Because when you're hauling kids' gear, snacks, and backpacks, space matters. And so does comfort. Just make sure they keep their cleats off the seats. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for details.
Rich Eisen here. The tax deadline will be here before you know it, and you just want to know your taxes are actually being handled. But the old way? You hand everything off, and then silence. Days pass, weeks pass. You start wondering, should I send another follow-up email? It feels like you're chasing updates and getting nowhere. But now, taxes are different because your taxes are done for you by a TurboTax full-service expert. With Intuit TurboTax, you can match with your dedicated tax expert and hand off everything right in the app. And while your expert checks for every deduction, you'll see real-time updates on your phone so you always know exactly where things stand. Suddenly, you're not refreshing your inbox. You're going for a run, grabbing a coffee, scrolling anything other than a just checking in message, because your TurboTax expert is handling it and keeping you in the loop. So this tax season, get your best possible outcome and every dollar you deserve without the guesswork. Visit TurboTax.com today to learn more. Real-time updates only in iOS mobile app. Only available with TurboTax full service experts.
I give you the floor on the story of the day, Jeff. What's going on with that?
Tony Clark, the executive director of the MLB Players Association, is resigning today. And this is something, Rich, that I think a lot of people in the game have been expecting for some time. After Don Van Out and I broke the story back in May of last year that the federal government and the Eastern District of New York, which has been in the news plenty, whether it's for the NBA gambling or for Emmanuel Clase and Luis Ortiz, they are looking into both financial improprieties that have been alleged, as well as potential obstruction as well. And I think it just got to the point now that this is a seminal year for Major League Baseball and especially for the Players Association. You've got owners who want to implement a salary cap. And what you need if you are the players and you're opposed to the salary cap is strong leadership. And with this hanging over Tony Clark as long as it has, the feeling was it was just going to be a matter of time until he got forced out or resigned. There is no succession plan at this point. Players are meeting at 4:30 on a Zoom call from the various camps and the player leaders, the 30 for each team, as well as the 8-man executive subcommittee. Are going to talk about what the future looks like, and they might elect an interim executive director today. They may punt that for a couple days down the road. But I think what the players realize is that this is a mess, and it's a mess that they need to clean up a lot sooner than later, because, you know, the days are ticking down until December 1st, and that collective bargaining agreement is going to expire. The likelihood is that Major League Baseball is going to lock out the players. And once that happens, it's going to become a staring contest. And the question of who blinks first, it might be a question that comes down to who is strongest and most united.
So your best guess, because, you know, battle stations are, as you just pointed out, around the corner here. Best guess how baseball writ large is hearing this news. Are they quietly fist pumping, fist pounding under their desk? Or they're like, damn it, we need a partner to talk about or talk to here. How do you think it's being received on the other side of the table, Jeff?
I think it depends on who ascends into that role. The favorite at this point is Bruce Meyer. He's the deputy executive director. He's the lead negotiator for collective bargaining. And he's the guy who it would be easiest to just say, because of his time at the union, because of his history, because of his knowledge on the subject, let's put him in place. There's potential, though, for players to say that we need to clean house. And the fact that this is happening in February as opposed to June or July or even later on in the calendar gives us the time to go out and do a proper search. I don't believe that's going to be the approach that they have. Brent Suter, who's one of the members of the executive subcommittee, said to reporters earlier today that we are going to name an interim executive director. And everyone presumes that that's going to come from the ranks of those at the Players Association right now. But there's been a number of things over the past year that Don and I have reported on, whether it's One Team Partners, the group licensing firm that the MLBPA started back in 2019 with the NFLPA, and which grew to like a $2 billion business. That's part of the investigation. They're looking into Players Way, which was a youth baseball initiative that the MLBPA started that they spent at least $4 million on and really didn't hold all that many events. All of this goes back, Rich, to a whistleblower complaint that was filed in November of 2024 with the Department of Labor that alleged all sorts of improprieties by Tony Clark. And the investigation stemmed out of that, and now it ends in his resignation.
All right. Since labor talk usually glazes the fans' eyes over, let's just wrap this part of our conversation up this way. Why should fans care about this, and how real is this? What's the timeline of the clouds forming? What should we look for? I know I just gave you five questions, but just tell me what fans should know. Jeff.
Yeah, maybe your producer should have told you to ask better questions rather than not wear a suit. But that being said, here is why this matters, because collective bargaining is the story of 2026, and it's going to be the thing that either allows for games to be played in 2027 or keeps Major League Baseball off field then. And that's a scary proposition. The game's in a good place right now, for the most part, but there are issues with the game. You know, the fact that the Dodgers are spending as much as they are and teams toward the bottom are spending as little as they are, and there's that giant disparity, it has alienated fans, and collective bargaining is the way to solve that. Now, is the salary cap the right way? You ask players and they will say definitively no. So I'm not sure it's necessarily going to lead to that, but for the union, it's pretty simple. Like, can they come out of this projecting strength, or is this going to be the sort of thing that weakens them to the point where I don't think they're going to capitulate on a cap? But for Major League Baseball, you know, something like this, owners look at it like it's positive for the league side. And it'll be interesting to see what the fallout is, because, you know, as anti-cap as Tony Clark was, Bruce Meyer is even more vehemently so. And I have trouble seeing a scenario where Major League Baseball players agree to that. And if they don't, how far are owners going to be willing to push for it? And how long could this lockout that's likely to start on December 1st last?
Yeah, Mets owner Steve Cohen, who is definitely not Bobby Axelrod from Billions, said just I think it was yesterday or over the weekend, you know, how the Dodgers have put a great team together. They can spend, and he makes an aside saying, you know, I can spend too. Which is true. It just seems that everybody's taking the Dodgers' money. Why is that? They're offering the 401k, or it's just like, why wouldn't you want to be teammates with Shohei Ohtani and managed by Dave Roberts and winning two in a row when they could win a third in a row? Is that what it is?
Yeah. How about you get to go play on the best team in baseball and get to play with the best player in history? Sounds pretty good to me. And what the Dodgers have to offer beyond that, yes, Rich, is the advantage that they have, and that they have gobs of cash. And, you know, they're owned by Guggenheim Partners, which is a money manager that has more than $350 billion under management at this point. And, you know, Steve Cohen is one of the richest men in the world. And then you have a bunch of owners who, would they like to win? Sure. But at what cost? Is it a deficit spending? Is it otherwise? How do they do it? And I think people who are observers of baseball right now feel like the on-field product pretty darn good at this point. You've got stars like Ohtani and like Aaron Judge, you know, like legitimately generational guy. But does the rest of the game feel fair? And if not, what can they do to go and solve that? And figuring out, I think, if there is a happy medium between what the owners want in a salary cap and what the players want in essentially a status quo system is going to be the rub of this whole thing. And they do that. Are they going to be creative and open-minded enough people to go out and try and strike a deal rather than run this thing off the cliff?
Have we seen all the movement preseason? Are we done with it, or is there just going to be another team to screw it? You know, the Dodgers get Kyle Tucker. We're just going to load up and we're going to make a trade and we're going to find somebody that's sitting on their current team that makes a gajillion dollars and screw it. We're going to go on a luxury tax and we're going to go for it. Is there anything like that? in the ether, Jeff?
It could happen, but there's nothing really percolating at this point. There are a few free agents left out there, but all the big names, you know, Lucas Giolito is the biggest now, and he's a very good pitcher, and he's going to do well in free agency. But beyond that, there's really not a whole lot. We've got the teams where we are right now, and the greatest hope, Rich, is not going to be out-talenting the Dodgers, because there's not a team that can out-talent the Dodgers. This is going to be more about the randomness of baseball. And let's not forget, you know, 3 years ago, the Arizona Diamondbacks absolutely woodshedded the Dodgers in the postseason and wound up making a World Series run themselves. So the nature of baseball makes it possible, but the talent of the Dodgers is so overwhelming that they are the distinct, and I would argue more than any of the, you know, almost 25 years I've been covering this game, they're going to be the overwhelming favorites going into the 2026 season.
Well, not to drag you into the conversations I have with my now 15-year-old son, who's a diehard baseball fan, plays MLB The Show every 2 seconds he can, and I did imbue him with
the
he loves Boog Sciambi, and so
you
know, with I know right. I imbued him with a love of the pinstripes. He's like showing me all sorts of crazy, you know, rumors about, you know, one involved Bryce Harper. And I basically said the Yanks need somebody like Stephen Kwan at the top of the lineup. You know what I mean? They need find their Ernie Clement. And the reason why I bring that up is what you just said, that even though we're talking about the Dodgers being some massive juggernaut fueled by gajillions of dollars, they damn near lost the World Series to a bunch of guys who could put the ball in play, catch the ball, pitch it, you know, throw split finger after split finger, and damn near pulled it off, right? So
true.
In a World Series that will live for the rest of our lives is one of the best ever, Jeff, you know?
Yeah, and I think if you're a Yankees fan, what you can look at is the same way the Dodgers look at things. The Dodgers just signed Evan Phillips for $6.5 million. Evan Phillips is coming off of Tommy John surgery, is a one-inning reliever, and is not going to be back until about. So that shows you the Dodgers are planning or October. That's what they have their eye on. And if you look at October right now, and if Garrett Cole comes back healthy and Carlos Rodon comes back healthy, and Cam Schlittler, you get a full season of him, and of course Max Fried at the top of the rotation, that's the kind of rotation that can shut down a team like the Dodgers. So I think the fear of the Yankees and the Phillies have the same thing going on, frankly, is that this team looks a lot like last year's team, and neither of those teams last year made it to the World Series. And you know, are they running it back? Yeah, pretty much they are running it back, but those were also two of the winningest teams during the regular season, so you can rationalize, if you're them, the reasons behind it. The off seasons didn't necessarily go the way either team was hoping, but I'm not looking at the Yankees and the Phillies right now as dead in the water. It's just the same, and in sports we've been conditioned to expect something a little bit different when what happened the year before didn't end with champion.
Yeah, because the Dodgers do that every year. Right. I mean,
they do. I mean, the Dodgers have won two in a row, and they went out and gave Kyle Tucker $240 million for 4 years.
Heck yeah.
And Edwin Diaz, a 3 year, $69 million deal. So they added the best free agent in Major League Baseball this winter, and they added the best closer on the market and probably one of the three best closers in the game right now. And when you factor in all those things, I think it's fair to ask the question of all the teams out there, do you want to win as much as the Dodgers? Like, is this important to you? And if so, how are you showing it? What are you doing to tell your fan base? And I think a lot of these organizations, and I get why, they say we can't do this. We can't do it like the Dodgers. And they could. The rules are in place for them to do so. It would just take an enormous amount of spending to do so. And that's just something that team owners have not shown themselves willing to do. And yes, the Dodgers have enormous advantages, Rich, and so do the Mets. But those advantages are really made clear by the system that's in place right now. And that's ultimately what we're talking about today. What does the system look like? And how are there levers that can be pulled so that the Dodgers and the Mets don't separate themselves into a completely different stratosphere than where the rest of the teams in Major League Baseball are?
All right, last one for you. ABS, which is, again, allowing players in Major League Baseball to challenge a ball and a strike using the Hawkeye system that we've seen for tennis and now for first down yard marks for the NFL. Is it true, Jeff, that this system is going to change the way we as fans watch a game with a strike zone box on the screen because baseball doesn't want a live game cast to be utilized in real time by a team, whether to challenge or not. Is that happening, Jeff?
The sense that I've gotten is that there will be some changes to it. I believe that it's just going to be more that the graphic that comes off on the screen is not going to indicate whether it's in the supposed strike zone or the strike zone that's marked on TV. I think SNY, the Mets broadcaster, actually did it this way, where it was just a hollow circle in the area that showed where it was, but it didn't say that's a strike or that's a ball. The truth is, though, Rich, like this is such a Major League Baseball response to what happened with the Houston Astros, right, and the cheating scandal there. Like they want to be above board on absolutely everything that they can. And in this situation, it's pretty simple. Like, players are supposed to challenge within a second or two of that pitch being called. And you see it right there. All they got to do is tap on their heads. The pitcher can do it, the hitter can do it, and the catcher can do it. And could teams theoretically see the thing on the screen and come up with a system to relay it to home plate quickly? I suppose so. But I think over time we're going to see from players that, you know, they're not even going to bother looking into the dugout. They're going to trust their eyes and what it tells them. And they're going to challenge based on that. And it's been about a 50% correct call rate and 50% overturn in the ABS trials that they've had so far in the minor leagues and in Major League spring training as well last year. So I think it's going to be great. It's not going to be the pitch clock. It's not going to have that demonstrable an effect, but I think it's ultimately going to be a good thing for baseball. And some of those blown calls that we've seen on balls and strikes late in important games, there will be a backstop for them now.
Unless the challenge has already been used, right? Well, just to inform before I let you go, it's you're only allowed to use it twice in a game, but if you get one of them right or both of them right, you get a third. What's the rule, Jeff?
Yeah, if you don't lose your challenge if you get it right.
So you could keep using it. You could keep using it for the rest of the game.
You can keep it going.
Okay. Jeff, thanks for the time, man. I appreciate it. Appreciate you joining me and us on a busy day. You're the best. You be well.
You should wear a suit, Rich. It would look much more dapper than this.
No, I understand that. I do that on NFL Network. This is I refer to it as dressed down, Rich. DDR. where are you going next? What's your schedule? What are we looking at?
I got Phillies, I got Blue Jays, I got Yankees, and then I got home.
Okay, man.
Looking forward to all four.
I bet. Touch them all before you head home. Thanks again, Jeff. Really appreciate it.
Thanks for having me, Rich.
You're the best. That's Jeff Passan, truly the best at it, right here on the Rich Eisen Show, joining us from spring training. Listen, the ABS stuff, man, I look forward to it. And I guess, kids, you're going to learn what it was like when we used to watch games where they didn't have a box on the screen and it wasn't immediately letting you know how fast the pitch was and whether it was a ball or a strike by whether it's lit, you know, filled in if it's hit the strike zone or if it's, you know, clear and empty if it's a ball. That's the way we used to watch things. I'm used to the other way around, man. I love knowing how fast it is and whether it was a ball or a strike, but they don't want this television feed to be used in a way to influence a decision in real time. And as he pointed out, the reason why this is they're skittish about it, the Astros used to use the TV feed to steal signs and then start banging on trash cans. That is the way it was used, you know, to cheat. And I guess they don't want it, but I get. And if you get a challenge right and you get to keep using it for the rest of the game, as long as you keep getting it right, I guess I can understand that baseball wants to change the way we're watching games, you know?
I don't know. I'm worried this is, we think it's a great idea, but this isn't
going to
fly.
I felt the same way about the pitch clock, and now I love it. Love it. Love the pitch clock. Think it's great. Don't even look at it anymore.
Same, but we love it because it's 99% great of the time we're watching games from home, and it makes it as a better TV product. When you were at a game, it goes fast.
That's great.
It's great if you're up and moving about. You miss a lot of the game.
I have no problem with the pitch clock, and I was dead set against it. And now I'm a, I just want to see how it works. You knew I was also wanting to get rid of the shift immediately as soon as I was seeing it. And that's another great rule. That's another one. I'm willing to give this one a try. Well, I better be willing because it's coming. I'm going to miss that square if that's what's going to happen on the screen. 844-204-RICH, number to dial. Your phone calls when we come back right here on ESPN, our final segment on the Big E, if you will, coming up of our...
The Rich Eisen Show, the podcast.
As you know, managing maintenance, repair, and operations is never easy. But for the ones who always rise to the challenge, Grainger has your back. From professional-grade products you can count on to fast, dependable delivery, they're there to help you keep things running smoothly. Plus, their technical product specialists are here to help answer your toughest questions. And because Grainger knows safety is always a priority, they're committed to being your partner in protecting both your people and your facilities. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by.
Hyundai Hope on Wheels is still going on. For 27 years, it's been going on. You might not be aware, but for almost the last three decades, every Hyundai sold has helped fund life-saving pediatric cancer research and a program I'm proud to tell you about every day called Hyundai Hope on Wheels. Together with over 850 dealers nationwide, Hyundai's raised more than $277 million supporting over 25,000 kids in their fight against cancer. At Hyundai, Hope isn't optional. It comes standard. Please visit HyundaiUSA.com and search up Hyundai Hope on Wheels to learn more about this awesome program. 844-204-RICH, number to dial. Ramona Shelburne is going to join us top of hour number three to review our weekend of work from the NBA All-Star Game and set up this show to give you an idea of what to look forward to in the de facto second half of the NBA season. And is the commissioner really thinking of abolishing the draft to teach everyone a lesson about tanking? Mark Cuban thinks that we should embrace tanking. Similar to debate on First Take?
Sort of.
Corey in Greenwich, New York, 844-204-RICH is what he dialed. What's up, Corey? You there, Corey? Greenwich, New York, 3-2. Corey, you there?
Yes. Hello. Yeah, I'm
Corey.
Here.
Where were you, Corey?
Come on.
Where were you?
I had to turn my Bluetooth off my tractor to get it on regular on the phone.
All right, Corey, off his Bluetooth and his tractor. Who knew Bluetooth and tractors went together?
That's amazing.
Okay, what's going on, Corey?
I have my Michigan point, but I have two NBA questions for you, if you don't mind.
Well, I prefer your Michigan point, whatever it is. Although I shouldn't say that. But what do you got? I give you the floor.
My two NBA points is number one is Giannis point. I have a bet with my other co-host radio guys, my buddies, and if I win, he has to come milk my cows, and if I lose, I gotta bring them farm products like beef, pork.
Okay.
So I'm on the boat that Giannis is going to be a Knick by the end of 2026. Oh. What do you think?
What do you have to give him?
Pork.
Okay. It's what we would call trafe over dairy. both are, I don't know if they're, it depends on what day of the week it is to kosher, but I don't know if that's what you're talking about in Greenwich, New York. What's your other point?
My other point is I'm a Laker fan, but I don't believe next summer, I don't believe my Lakers will, I don't think LeBron will be a Laker next year, and I believe he'll go to the Knicks because it's playing in Madison Square Garden.
I don't think LeBron. You think LeBron's going to finish with the Knicks? It's been 23 years people have been trying to put him on the Knicks. I don't know. I think the Cavs is where he finishes, you know, full circle. Don't you think?
Doesn't it make the most sense?
Yeah. And what's your Michigan point,
like
Corey?
This weekend, Michigan versus Duke. Do you think that's a championship preview?
Oh,
very well. That's
fun. Okay, Corey. Okay, all right. Thank you for the call.
That's fun.
Let me just say this.
I believe Giannis could end up as a Knick.
No, I don't particularly care to talk about that right now. Is Michigan versus Duke a national championship game preview?
That's what you want to talk
about. Oh, you betcha. In the same way I told Adam Ray, Seahawk fan, prior to the game against the
San Francisco 49ers in the divisional playoff round. I'm like, you could beat the Niners, then you beat the Rams, then you go to the Super Bowl and beat the Patriots, avenge that loss in the house of the 49ers. It's the greatest path, period. I would love it if Michigan took care of North Carolina maybe at some point, and then at the end of the day, avenge the Fab Five loss to Duke. Oh, my God. You know what? And then hopefully they beat North Carolina at some point, you know, using no timeouts in the game. Don't call timeout once because they beat the crap out of them.
Nice.
And this Michigan team has the ability to do it. Oh, my gosh. He's talking about the game against Duke that's coming up this Saturday in Washington, D.C., which I'm already seeing might be the most expensive ticket for basketball in the history of that building. Huh. Oh, gosh.
Yeah, two of the three title favorites. Michigan's now the favorite. Arizona second, Duke third.
Let me tell you this. They got Purdue tonight, which is in Purdue. That is going to require every ounce of their awesomeness to pull off. Then there's the Big Ten tournament. They also got Illinois coming up. They got Michigan State again just to tell little brother what's up one more time before the Big Ten tournament. Oh, man. I cannot wait. I just love this Michigan basketball team. We'll talk about Giannis the next hour with Ramona. I'm sorry I went down that wormhole there.
Well, why? It's Michigan. We get it.
I appreciate you saying that.
We understand.
Oh, this guy, Dusty May. Fantastic, baby. Ramona Shelburne's coming up.
The Rich Eisen Show Podcast.